Good morning. You know, as we begin Advent, it's a time where we usually have some sort of series that's running. And as I mentioned, we're going to have a series running on our Wednesday evening services. But for our Sunday morning services, we're going to have a series as well. And it's called Christmas ADJ, or Christmas Adjective. Now, how many of you like to diagram sentences? Oh, you used to love that. Boy, I absolutely hated it. Actually, when I got to the seminary, I had to learn more about the English language and the parts of the sentence than what I probably learned in high school and college. But we all kind of know what nouns are, right? And adjectives and verbs. And I mean, we have at least a general idea. And so I'm going to say a word. And I want you to tell me whether it's a noun or a verb or whatever part of the sentence it is. If I were to say sleigh, what is a sleigh? It's a noun. Unless I say sleigh bells or sleigh ride, then all of a sudden it becomes what? An adjective. Because it describes what type of bell or what type of ride it is. Of course, we can't have a sleigh without reindeer, right? So what is reindeer? It is a noun. Unless, it is like a deer, you're right. Unless we play reindeer games like Rudolph, then it becomes a what? An adjective. Obviously, we can't have a sleigh and a reindeer without Santa. So Santa, we all know Santa is a what? It's a noun. Unless I'm wearing a Santa hat, and then it becomes a what? Adjective. You get the picture? Okay. So, we're going to be looking at Christmas. And everybody knows that Christmas is a noun. Christmas Day, it's a time that we celebrate, unless we add a word to the end of Christmas, like Christmas cookies, or Christmas tree, or Christmas cheer. Then it becomes what? An adjective, because it is describing what kind of cookies they are. How many of you like Christmas cookies? I think just about everybody likes Christmas cookies. And for me, what attracts people to Christmas cookies? The sugar, okay? The way they look. You know, I thought about this, and if you have a plate of Christmas cookies out there, it's funny to watch people, or amusing to watch people, because different people are attracted to the different shapes, right? Because some of them want the Christmas tree or the Christmas bell or the reindeer or whatever it is. But then also, most Christmas cookies have a frosting on them, right? And so the various colors of frosting will attract different people. They want the red, they want the green or the blue or whatever color it is. But then they're the ones with the sprinkles. And I will tell you, you can watch me if there's a plate of Christmas cookies out. I am a sucker for the glittery, crunchy sprinkles. You know, not just those little oblong ones, but that glittery looking sprinkle. Oh man, I guess because it's pure what?
Sugar.
Yeah. And so as we think about Christmas cookies, I'm going to say that the one thing that draws a lot of people to Christmas cookies is the sugar. What would happen if you picked up a Christmas cookie and bit into that thing, and whoever it was that made it forgot to put the sugar in everything that they used? Would you be able to keep it in your mouth, or would you spit it out? And for one thing, if you were able to swallow that one bite, you would probably at least place the cookie down or throw it away, right? As we look at this series in Advent this year, what we want to look at, we're going to be looking at different things that we attach Christmas to. But we're going to look at them from the perspective of how can we become Christmas people. And not just Christmas people during this season of Advent, not just Christmas people on Christmas Day, but Christmas people every day of the year. What attracts us to certain individuals? And I'm going to say it's almost the same thing as these Christmas cookies. We like some sweetness in people, don't we? We like to see gentleness, kindness, patience. We like to see someone who's loving, caring, nurturing. We don't want to see someone, and we don't want to be around someone who's what? Grouchy, mean, bitter. Like the Christmas cookie without any sugar. We don't want to be around them. How many of you know someone who's bitter? How many of you know someone who's been bitter? I see a little boy's hand back there. Surely you're not talking about your parents, I wouldn't think. But I think if we really stopped and thought about it, we all know someone who's, if they're not bitter all the time, has had some bitter moments. And even ourselves, we've had some bitter moments because we all struggle. We all fight against that bitterness. I mean, we want to be joyful. We want to be fun to be around. We want to have some sweetness about us, but we're always battling. There's that battling rage that's going on within us because we've experienced some pretty tough stuff in life that makes us bitter, that makes us angry. And as we turn to the Ephesians passage for today, this is what Paul writes, but it's always hard for us to remember and understand that this is not what Paul is saying, but these are words that Paul is writing that are inspired by God Himself for our benefit. And he says this in chapter 4, which was read earlier, verse 31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." What does he say? It's pretty simple. Get rid of it. And here's what is so hard, I think, a lot of times for us to understand, to comprehend, or even to accept is the fact that we have people who have made us bitter. There's been people who've done stuff to us that make us angry, that make us frustrated. And he doesn't say, throw them out, get rid of them. He says what? Get rid of the anger and the bitterness that's within us. And so how do we do that? How do we do that when I mean, there are some deep hurts that people have caused. How are we able to get rid of that anger and that bitterness? How many of you know what a participle is? Oh, I could get myself in trouble really quick if I tried to explain some of this in depth because I would have every English teacher all over my case. But in general terms, a participle is a verb in English that we usually add an ing to. And in the Greek language, these participles usually served a specific function. And that's how you could tell the meaning of that participle in the Greek language. You had to determine what the function of it was. And one of the functions in the Greek language for a participle is a participle of means. And so in the English language, when we translate those from the Greek, a lot of times we might put in front of that by, the word by, B-Y. And so if you think about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples by what? Baptizing. Baptizing is a participle. How are we going to make disciples? By baptizing. And then by teaching. Those are participles. Well, if we turn to our Ephesians passage in verse 32, chapter 4, verse 32, you know, he says to get rid of this bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. And then he says, be kind and compassionate to one another. By what? Forgiving. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What happens when you hear the word forgive? And I'm going to say for some people, and maybe a lot of people, it causes a great deal of anxiety. Because when we're talking about what we've been discussing here, some of the anger and the bitterness that becomes a part of our lives sometimes, it's because we've been hurt deeply. And when we hear the word forgive, it's hard, right? I mean, it's tough to forgive someone who's really, really damaged you, who's hurt you so bad, who's betrayed you, who has turned against you. I mean, it's hard to forgive. And I'll have to be perfectly honest with you. I've been bitter. I've been angry. I've been frustrated. You know, when I first found out and when the effects of what happened to my wife when she was little, when that first hit me, oh, I was mad. I was angry. I was more than frustrated. And I don't know if I was ready to forgive. So I get it. It's tough when we hear that word, forgive. And so what I want to do for just a minute is talk about forgiveness in as, I guess, delicate of a way that we can, but I want to approach it from the standpoint of first, what forgiveness is not. And forgiveness, and if you want to write these down because you may need these someday, forgiveness does not pretend everything is okay. I mean, there's been people that have been hurt deeply. And our tendency is to do what? Just shove it under the rug. Just push it away. Don't deal with it. And just pretend like nothing has ever happened. But forgiveness does not pretend everything is okay. Forgiveness tells the truth. In fact, I was thinking about it. How can you even forgive something if nobody's even willing to recognize that something wrong has happened? And so forgiveness does not pretend everything is okay. The second is forgiveness is not afraid to draw boundaries. I think we all know that in most relationships, their boundaries set up, right? I mean, there are boundaries that you have to set up with coworkers. There's boundaries that you have to set up with a school teacher, a student teacher relationship. There's certain boundaries that every relationship has to set up. And when someone has been so deeply hurt by someone, there's even higher boundaries. Because you see, those boundaries can be little curbs that we have to set up. They could be a fence, or they might have to be a tall wall that you have to set up. And I'm going to say that someone who's been in a toxic relationship and someone who's been hurt by someone very deeply, a lot of times when they hear the word forgive, and some people will even say it to their face, they'll say, you have to forgive and what? Forget. Oh yeah? How? And they'll even throw the passage out there about cast the sins as far away as the east is from the west. But you know what the problem with that is? In fact, that kind of drives me nuts when I hear that now. So don't say that to me. Who does that? God. And God has not given us that divine ability. In fact, our minds, the experiences that we go through, hold on. They can't. Sometimes it's so ingrained in our minds and in the experience that we went through, we will never be able to forget it. And there's some relationships that are so toxic that the boundary has to be so high that it might mean you may never be able to be with that person again. Does that mean you don't forgive them? No. It means that there's just so much damage that was caused and so much damage that it might be caused every time you're in that relationship that we have to set those boundaries. So forgiveness does not pretend everything is okay. Forgiveness is not afraid to set boundaries. And this final one is really maybe the hardest, because we think people need a consequence, right? And his forgiveness does not treat people as they deserve. I mean, our natural tendency is to think, well, they deserve to pay for that. But you know, once we forgive, we're through. We place it into God's hands. And forgiveness doesn't treat people the way they deserve. If we want the perfect example of this, we have to think about Jesus, right? I mean, we deserve really to be punished horrifically for our sins. But yet Jesus came into the world and took every bit of that punishment on himself. You know, if I know it seems kind of strange in the season of Advent to move forward to Good Friday. But if we think about Jesus hanging on that cross, I mean, he was drained and zapped of every ounce of energy that he had. He was dehydrated. He was so weak because of blood loss. And when some of those soldiers offered him some wine vinegar mixed with gall, he refused it. And I know there's probably different views on what that means, that he refused that. But one thought is the fact that a lot of times that wine vinegar mixed with gall was used as a sedative to numb some of the pain. But you see, Jesus didn't want that pain numbed. He wanted to experience every bitterness, every sin that has ever been a part of every single person in the world's life. He wanted to experience that. He wanted to experience that bitterness to its fullest so that we could experience the sweetness of God's love to its fullest. And we have forgiveness. We have eternal life because Jesus endured that bitterness on the cross. And now, because we have that forgiveness, we have that sweetness of God's love, what do we get to do? We get to show that sweetness. We get to share that sweetness of God's love with those who are experiencing hard times. Those who are walking through a difficult situation. those who are bitter, those who are angry, we have the opportunity to show them the sweetness of God's love. You see, because when Jesus looks at you, when Jesus looks at me, he doesn't see how terrible I am. He doesn't see everything that I've done wrong. He doesn't see where all we've been on the computer. He doesn't see every mistake that we've made. He doesn't see everything we've tried to slip by our parents. He sees Jesus, who died on the cross to forgive us and give us eternal life. We certainly have the sweetness of those Christmas cookies to share with people during this Advent season, this Christmas season, and for every day of our lives. Sweetness is a part of what Christmas people look like. May we have some of that sweetness in us to share with those around us. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this day. And Lord, we understand that there have been some really deep wounds and hurts in many of our lives. But Lord, we thank you for your sweetness, that you do not treat us as we deserve. And Lord, you do not treat anyone as they deserve. But you show them love. You show them grace. Lord, fill our hearts with some of that sweetness so that we can be Christmas people throughout the year, sharing your love with people that we come in contact with, walking along beside some who are experiencing pain, so that we can share your love and light with them. We just ask a special blessing on each person here today, that you would fill us with your Spirit, and so that we are equipped to serve you in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.